Welcome to show number 119 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. Got kind of a mixture of things. I guess we've been doing that the last couple of podcasts. Just some mixture of items that we'll talk about. We'll talk a little bit about football since we just wrapped up with the NFL Combine. We'll talk about some of the early sets, not in depth, but some of the early sets that come out from a couple of the companies that are making football cards. We'll talk about a little bit of the player movement as well. I'll give you a set that I'm looking forward to. No surprise it's in basketball, but I think this might be kind of an interesting set that people will like. And we'll also give out a federal warning. I wanted to say federal for some reason. I don't think I have any federal litigation or jurisdiction, I guess is probably a better word. But I'll give you a warning about stuff that's going on over at Topps and how I'm worried for collectors that might be hitting redemptions or buying redemptions of big dollar cards. I want to warn you guys officially on this podcast. And the last thing kind of related to that, I guess, is building up trust. I got an email last week about somebody said, hey, I want to set up a business in cards, you know, how do I do that, and etc. And you know, one of the things I talked about or tried to give some advice about was building up trust. You know, if you're new and nobody knows who you are, and certainly if you don't look professional or, you know, don't have the budget to maybe have yourself look a little bit more professional than you are, maybe you don't have the tech savvy, then you've got to build up some reputation in the hobby. You can't just snap your fingers or flip a light switch and have it happen. But there's certainly some things you can do. And even maybe a company like Topps, which we'll talk about in a little bit, some of you might not have any problems with them. You only buy single cards and stuff like that. But certainly people that open their newer product on a regular basis have maybe had some issues with their customer service. Hey, it's never too late to turn things around and make things better. So we'll talk about ways to do that, not necessarily maybe ways to turn things around, because hopefully you never have to, but definitely building up some trust and reputation of the hobby in terms of like building up a business maybe, and even as a trader or somebody that casually trades online on forums and things of that nature. So we'll talk about all that stuff. Sit back and relax. So let's start with football. Couple weeks ago, the combine ended. I saw, you know, not a whole lot of it. I saw mainly the linebackers. I saw Manti Te'o. It seemed like they replayed his drill like 10 different times. Two guys I was impressed with at the linebacker position were John Bostic and Cornelius Washington. Washington put up 36 like bench reps. I think it was like 220 pounds or something like that. And no other linebacker did over 30. So I was really blown away and impressed with his strength and ability. Hopefully he stays, whatever team drafts him, hopefully he stays clean, so to speak. Some other interesting things that have happened in football. Ryan Mallett looks like he might get some kind of opportunity. That's at least in the rumors, because Tom Brady signed a contract extension through the age of 40. So it looks like Ryan Mallett, who was drafted maybe a season or two ago, looks like he maybe will get an opportunity. And you could almost like have a section of your collection or just do this exclusively where you collect like backup quarterbacks. You could have killed it with like Aaron Rodgers. He sat behind Brett Favre and for several seasons. And you could have done it with Colin Kaepernick last season. I know he sat for a year. And certainly could maybe have an opportunity to cash in here with Ryan Mallett. So I think it's kind of interesting. It happens all the time. There's probably situations where it's happening in the NFL right now with a younger guy or a guy that's coming up. Could have done it with Tony Romo. There's tons of examples where even Tom Brady himself, tons of examples where he could have had the backup and could have cashed in once he got his opportunity. But there's definitely opportunities. Like Ryan Mallett, I think, was not a high draft pick, but certainly looked like unless Tom Brady's head got chopped off, he was going to get traded or something like that. So interesting movement there. Alex Smith, another quarterback that looks like he's on the move. He's on his way to Kansas City. That's not any stale news. I don't think it's official or any means by that, but it might, you know, obviously we'll do some things for his cards, and we'll see if Alex Smith can play like he did in, I think, 2011, took the Niners, I think, one game out of the Super Bowl. So we'll see if he can, you know, light the fire in Kansas City. And to, staying on the NFL, there's some early, as I'm sure you know, there's early football product that comes out that typically is rookie heavy. And sometimes features some like creative like ways to put the athletes in their uniforms, or they have them in airbrushed college uniforms. It's just some weird stuff. So you just want to be mindful. If that's not something that bothers you, go ahead and open whatever you want. But if you do care about how your cards look, you might want to check them out first before you spend your money on them. A Leaf Metal Draft has already came out. I think it was scheduled for like the middle of this month, but it came out right at the end of February. Leaf sometimes does that. I think that they're one of the few manufacturers I've seen that will put right when a release is coming out within maybe a few weeks, he'll bump it all the way back, you know, where it's coming out the next day. So kind of as a surprise release. I think that's kind of maybe a tactic. I don't know if it necessarily works or not, because I think people are kind of surprised once it comes out, but maybe pleasant surprise, especially with new 2013 product. 2013 Prestige Football, I believe, will be Panini's first licensed product, and 2013 Topps Archives Football, I believe, will be Topps' first licensed product. And I know that Topps, that's looking like it'll come out next month. And a set I'm looking forward to next month, early next month, I think like the 3rd, 4th, or 5th, somewhere in that range. It was supposed to come out at the middle of this month. And when I say this month, I'm referring to March 2013. But it's looking like a April 2013 release. Panini Select Basketball. This incorporates the prisms. It's got to have some, I think, gold and black prisms, and I think there's a regular kind of refractor type prism. I think it's going to incorporate that. I think fans are going to like this. The autograph rookies look really nice in the set. There might even be some jersey autograph ones in here. I'm not 100% sure, but I think the price is already kind of, you know, it's up there. There's like two mini boxes here, but it might be worth checking out on the single card market. Panini Select Basketball, if you pay any attention to the way Panini has been able to capitalize on this prism type technology, and how it's basically like a refractor clone type promotion or gimmick that they're doing. But collectors seem to like it, and I like it too. I think the cards look nice too. And if you think that's going to carry over from Prism to maybe another set, just like it does from Topps Chrome to Bowman Sterling, etc., I think it probably will. Panini Select Basketball might be able to piggyback off some of that Prism success. Now moving to not success, but fail. Topps is, you know, I would be very weary. I've been weary for months. I've been seeing horror stories. And this is not, none of this is based on my own experience, since I don't buy new product. You know, I don't find myself getting redemptions. I don't find myself getting damaged cards. I don't find myself getting missing hits in a case or a box. I don't find myself, you know, needing to contact customer service. But I get a lot of emails. I see it on forums constantly. Just problems, whether it's outright contacting anybody at Topps or getting resolutions to issues, whether it be redemption cards, missing hits, all the things that I just described. And they seem to be failing over and over and over again. So I just want to caution everybody, you got to be really careful. It seems to be getting worse, and so that's a problem, because what ends up happening is it definitely starts snowballing. When you, in this business, it's a little bit different than other businesses, where maybe all they have to do is manufacture. Maybe it's like you could compare them to Nike, where Nike could just manufacture more Air Maxes or manufacture more Jordans if they were back ordered or whatever. If they needed to get, if maybe a damaged ones got out to consumer, the air bubbles popped or whatever. This is, they need to get the athlete's signature. They need to pay for that. Maybe the athlete is no longer around. Maybe it's hard to get them. Maybe they already shipped the cards to them. The athlete lost them, so they got to reprint them. It's complicated. And the further and further you go, and the more issues you kind of start snowballing, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I just want to caution you that that's what I think is certainly happening. And there's just been lots of issues that I've read recently, whether it's redemption cards in your quote system, kind of your Topps account, those are being missing. They'll be there for months, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and Topps has no record of your redemption. I've heard about that. It's almost impossible to reach anybody, and they eliminated their Topps support on Twitter, which seemed to be the most reliable way to get a hold of them recently, and that's really bad. When they take away like the most reliable and one of the easiest ways and one of the more productive ways to contact them, when they take that away, that shows you that they're still not going in the right direction. I've heard shipping orders. People have ordered like Topps Turkey Red and other products recently on their website, Topps, shoptops.com or something, and they got it. They pre-ordered the product, and they got it weeks later, weeks after almost everybody else got it. So they're not they don't have good oversight or diligence on shipping things out. And they're replacing. I've seen guys say, hey, I sent in an auto and I needed a replacement and I got back a non-auto, or I got back a card with that's supposed to have an auto, but the auto's not there. So it's not good. You just want to be very careful. Obviously, if you're like me or maybe a lot of collectors out there where you're just buying singles or you're buying older cards or you're just buying Albert Pujols cards or Mike Trout cards or something like that, you're not affected as much. But if you're doing box breaks, and certainly when it's like high-end stuff that where there's lots of redemptions, maybe tribute that's coming out, I don't know for a fact. There's no way to know until the product comes out. But take a look on eBay and see what's the redemptions, what's are the big hits actually in the box, because if they're not, be very wary of spending a lot of money on that product, because you're either going to have to wait a long time. And hits go down in value. That's the problem. You know, an Albert Pujols autograph right after he won the World Series, not that Albert Pujols is any less of a player, but now he's on a whole new team and his whole situation has changed. Or there's lots of guys where they've just fallen off the table very quickly. So, you know, years are like decades in sports. So a lot of things can happen. Guys' career. Look at Alex Smith. He was one game out of the Super Bowl, and everybody loved him. And now he's getting traded. So, got to be real careful with your purchases, especially when it's on the box end, and you might get one of those once in a lifetime hits, and it turns into a nightmare story that kind of ruins the hobby for you. So I don't want to see that happening. So some of the ways you can not let that happen to you is do business with people you trust in the hobby, people that earn your trust. I think that's probably one of the maybe sums up, not to totally close out our next segment, but certainly you want to earn people's trust in this hobby. And so we'll talk about that in general. Like if you're ever interested in starting a hobby shop, on whether it be online or on eBay or using those tools or doing a box break kind of website or doing any kind of website, anything in the hobby. You could even be selling supplies and things of that nature, or even a service to the hobby where you're doing web hosting or something like that. You need to build up trust with people within the hobby before you're going to really scale up in customers, because there's often other people in the hobby doing already what you're doing, so people have options already. So those are the kind of things you need to think about before you go into business. Not just what kind of products I need to buy, how much can I buy it for, and how much can I sell it for, and I need my wholesale accounts and stuff like that. You need to think about some of the things that don't cost money, like building up a reputation, building up some kind of online trust and loyalty and customer satisfaction via the internet. It's very important these days, and we'll talk about the steps you might want to think about going through right after this.
All I care about is money in the city that I'm from. I'ma sing it till I feel it, I'ma go until it's done. I don't need to say what's up, but my excuse is that I'm young. And I'm only getting older, somebody should have told you I'm on one. You know I'm on one, yeah. I said I'm on one. Two white cups and I got that drink. It could be purple, it could be pink. Pen and an eye, you mix that itch. Money that we got till we get that itch. I'm all one.
And we are back. Time to talk about, you know, building up trust or building up a reputation in the hobby that you can use for a couple. If you're just a casual collector, sometimes you want to do trades and things of that nature. And so it's it could be useful there. But certainly if you want to build a business where you're taking people's monies, doing orders and shipping things out and maybe holding money for pre-orders and stuff like that, people have to trust you. People have to know you're not going to just run off with their money or run off with their cards or whatever it might be. So it takes a little bit of time. You might think you're the most genuine person and maybe everybody you know can vouch for you, but there's no reason for anybody to trust you. And so that's the first thing you want to understand is no, just understand, hey, nobody trusts me, so I need to earn all these people's trust. They're not going to just trust me just because I have the product or just because I have a good price or just because I'm here blasting on Twitter or blasting Facebook every day or blasting YouTube every day. You still have to earn people's trust. And the first thing is like, be honest. Tell, if you're new, I always think, hey, just be upfront with it. Tell people you're new. Tell people you're trying to earn their trust. Tell people that you know that there's no reason for them to trust you. Just be outright honest with people, and I think that goes a long way. Tell people, hey, I might make some mistakes, but you know, at least then I know you're real. At least I know that you might identify me as a customer, and you're identifying my needs before they might come up. And so I think, you know, don't pretend to be number one in the business and have a website that's on Blogspot or something like that. So just be honest with your customers. If your website kind of sucks or you don't even have a website or you don't have all the products or your prices aren't that good, just be honest with people and tell them why. And maybe it's because you're new and you haven't scaled up, or if you ship things out late or something like that. Just be honest with people, and that often goes a long ways. Even if you've messed up, even if you're, you know, in a top situation where someone's been waiting 14 months for a redemption and he doesn't have it back, just communicating with them and trying to explain the situation and maybe ways they you could rectify it, it goes a long way to easing people's concern. Next thing is build up slow. Oftentimes I think people want to get in this business, or people want to jump on the forum with no posts or five posts or to be there for a month and want to all of a sudden have that reputation. That really takes months and months and months and sometimes years to acquire and develop. So don't, you know, if you plan on being a retailer, you know, we got sports, you know, basically 365 days a year. You've got hockey, you've got baseball, you got football, you got soccer, you got tons of different sports you can sell, and all these different items and players you can capitalize on. It doesn't need to be a sprint. You don't need to be like Usain Bolt and be trying to sprint your business to the top really fast. Obviously, if you have an investment or if you have a lot of money, if you have, you know, like $100,000 or $250,000 or something to invest into a business, then maybe, yeah, you can build up a little faster. But I hope if you spend that kind of money or if you have that kind of money to invest, that you do a lot of the research to know how you're going to scale up and the kind of work that it takes. I don't know if everybody factors in The kind of work it takes to be in this kind of business, because it's a lot of in sports cards. If you're selling a lot of stuff on eBay, if you're selling a lot of stuff wherever it is on a website or on a forum or something like that, or wherever you're selling stuff, even at a card shop, you're doing a lot of small dollar transactions, $5 to $10 transactions. And, you know, if you're shipping each one out individually, it takes a lot of time to package that up. And, you know, it's just that takes a lot of time. And if you've got thousands, hundreds or thousands of orders each day, you certainly want to understand what that's going to cost you in terms of time and money. So, which is basically, time is essentially money. So just want to make sure scaling up, you know, you don't necessarily need to become number one or be the biggest in the business right up front. You might want to have maybe a 2, 3, 4, 5 year plan to build yourself up to getting a decent amount of market share in whatever market you're going after in the sports business. Communicate with people. This kind of goes with being honest and stuff like that and being upfront with people. But, you know, also don't ignore, you know, I have two down here that are almost the same. You know, communicate with people and be accessible in all places. You know, don't just communicate people in your chat room or your Facebook, or just be, you know, just have be active on your Twitter, or just do emails, or just do phone calls. I think in today's society, you need to kind of have a mix of all. Yeah, maybe it's easiest and fastest to get a hold of you via the phone or via Twitter, but you follow up with everybody at least a daily or within 24, 48 hours on all mediums. And I think that's really important if you're selling stuff, if you're trying to take people's money, and you're not taking people's money, but if you're trying to acquire their business and things like that, where they're spending money with you on a regular basis, you want to be accessible in all forms these days. And I think that's really, really important. And just in general, communicating with people, just again, letting them know, hey, if I ship something out late, or if you can't, if a box break doesn't fill up and you need to refund people's money or carry it over to another break, just being really upfront with that with people. Or if you're recording a video and it blips out and you lost it or something and it looks shady, just be communicate with people as much as you can with about what happened, and you should be able to earn people's respect that way. Last one I have here is just be consistent, you know, with your communication, with your flow of new inventory, with your sales. You know, you want to make sure that it can be done on a regular basis, and that's how you become consistent. If you don't know how to handle communication, where you're going to sit down for 10 to 20 to 30 minutes a day and answer all the emails and Facebooks and all that stuff that come in, and how are you going to order new inventory when you get a big order or something like that? How are you going to generate new sales? Maybe it's a slow time of the month. Maybe you specialize in football cards, and right now everybody's excited maybe about basketball, or maybe they're excited about new baseball cards. So they're not as excited maybe about football as much. So how do you get those new sales in? So how do you keep the customers that you already have and don't let them go, you know, back to one of the competitors out there? So those are all things that you want to think about beforehand, and those are definitely things you want to think about as you're going along in business, even if you're in business now. And even if things are going well, I think that's oftentimes a good time to reflect too in business, is even if things are going well, you're like, hey, sales are up, things are going good, still always look for a way to improve or ways to improve. You don't necessarily have to execute them right at that moment. Maybe you don't have time, maybe you don't need to, but if sales fall off, or if a couple customers, you always be able to put your foot back on the gas and get yourself back up to a revenue or a place you need to be in terms of sales and margins and things like that. So those are things you want to think about. I stress to everybody that, especially if you're new out there, you know, handle your hobby reputation almost like it's your child or like your first car or something like that. You're always washing it, always making sure everything's in place and you have an air freshener in there. You know, always take care of your hobby reputation if you're on a forum, and it's okay to be emotional or give your opinion, or if you disagree with people, that's okay. That's not necessarily – you don't have to trust – you don't have to agree with somebody to necessarily trust them. But I'm talking about in situations where you may not have delivered when you said you might – and things like that. You always want to be honest and tell people, hey, I got busy, or, you know, not that you need to be an excuse maker or something like that. That also will cost you business down the line if you're constantly like, hey, I got busy, or hey, I couldn't do it, or hey, this, that, and the other. Eventually people will learn that you're just slow. Maybe you're trustworthy, but you're just slow. And that might be a deal breaker for some people. So those are all things you want to think about as you're moving your way through the hobby, because a lot of collectors out there, myself included, you know, we start off collecting, then we move into where we're selling, and you know, now I'm kind of in the spot where I'm doing a little bit of both. I'm buying cards and keeping them and kind of putting them in the box kind of off to the side. But I always kind of have that inventory of cards that I'm definitely buying and you know, and selling mainly. Because I got them for a good price, or you find, you know, a stack of cards at a card show, or you find a good lot on eBay. That sometimes happens. Some misspells the auction, or it's just a big lot that doesn't appeal to a lot of people. So it's always kind of fun. It certainly keeps the revenue stream going. It's certainly nice to have, you know, being able to sell a few of your cards to be able to buy a few more. I certainly think that's a plan that has worked for me. That about works for me on today's show too. I think we've wrapped it up today. Hopefully everything's going well for you guys and your collections. Just be careful out there. I know that there's a lot of like buy in the hobby, and nobody ever takes a breath and says don't buy or think about your purchase before you do it. I know maybe I do it too much. Maybe I'm constantly on here telling you to take a breath, but you know, just remember that they're always coming out with cards, and there's always more competition coming in, and there's always new cards coming out, and new ones being made and things like that. And players' careers kind of go up and down. You know, Chad Ochocinco in 2004 or 5, you know, was one price, and now he's another price. So, you know, players' careers can go up and down, and I'm sure you guys are realize that. So no need to necessarily pay at the top of the mark unless that doesn't really mean anything to you. But we're in tough economic times now, and I think that's why I stress it so much, is I know that the money means a lot to most everybody listening. You know, we probably don't have Warren Buffett tuning in to the program every week. So I just want to caution you guys, just be careful with your money. And the safe bet is to either not buy something that either looks shady, or certainly any redemption card right now. Don't buy any secondary redemption, especially from Topps. I almost say don't buy it from any company, because you never know if that company is going to be able to fulfill that redemption. But I've seen a lot of horror stories from Topps, so I certainly wouldn't be on eBay buying redemption cards, even at a huge like discount. I wouldn't touch it. So just be careful and have fun out there too. At the same time, that's how it becomes sustainable hobby. This is why I warn you, because if you get burned and you get ripped off, that's what gets you out of the hobby. You know, if you went to Foot Locker and bought some Jordans and they turned out to be fake, and every fifth one you bought was fake, or it was poor quality or something like that, you'd stop buying the brand. And so that's why I caution you to always research your purchases, make sure you know what you're getting into, and know the kind of risks that you might be taking opening unopened product or buying redemption, stuff like that. So you stay in this hobby, because I love you as a listener, and I love you in this hobby. I've been in this hobby for a long time, and I think it's great, and there's lots of things you can learn about sports and business and all kinds of things, and not to mention you can meet a lot of people and make a lot of friends in the hobby as well. So I think it's important that we try to keep everybody. Once you're in the family, we're trying to keep you in here. So that about, on that note, that about wraps it up for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We are out of here.